Lord, we just thank you for the offering this morning. We thank you for our hearts, Lord, that we can truly say, God, we want to worship you with everything in us. We want to worship you with our lives, Lord. Lord, I pray that we continue to prepare for worship every day, every moment, Lord, to not rush in and rush out of your presence, but truly to prepare our hearts, God. And this morning we thank you right now that we can also prepare our hearts for your word. Thank you that you have something very unique for each one of us this morning, something that is very special, God, and very specific to each one here this morning. And I pray for all of our hearts to open to your word this morning, to open to your presence. And Lord, I pray that we would not leave here the same. But we pray for fruit from our lives. Because we know in your presence there's joy, Lord. In your presence there's change. In your presence there's healing, there's restoration. In your presence, Lord, there's life. And we thank you for life this morning, Lord, that we can choose life this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Thank you so much, band. That was awesome. Yanni, bless you guys. Who's here for the first time? Just show of hands again. A couple of people. Welcome. It's wonderful to have you guys here. We've actually got a new visitor to the world. Did you guys know that? We are excited about him. Okay. Is he here this morning? There he's sitting next to my beautiful wife there. He's 4 days old. Is it 4 days now? So in case you didn't know, I'm a dad of three now. That's awesome. Two sons and a daughter. It's just amazing. God has blessed us so much. So thank you for all your prayers and your support. You can go and have a peek in there, but don't overwhelm him. Babies tend to get overstimulated at this age. I know by now I'm like three children later. So, but anyway, it's really wonderful. God has blessed us. And I'm just excited for this morning, for the word. Are you excited? Yeah, just give someone next to you a high five and just warm them up a little bit. Say, it is cold, but God is in this place. Okay. Jesus is going to warm you up by his Holy Spirit. So I want to just start by saying that any of us engineers or designers in this place, any of us creative people, yeah, when you, yeah, the architects are excited now and so on. But you know, whenever you buy, who's into gadgets here? We're the guys. Who's into gadgets and appliances and new cars and new stuff? These guys aren't honest in this place, but anyway. There's a couple of honest people. But whenever you buy something new, whenever you get a new gadget or an appliance or something that's really quite complicated and that you've never seen before, you've never used it before, you need to understand that there's some kind of a design behind this thing, okay? So let's say you buy like a new printer and it's a scanner and it's a fax machine and it's all things in one and you've never had this before. You've got to plug it in. It's got Wi-Fi. It's got all sorts of weird things. It's got a CD that you have to put into your computer to make sure it works and it's connected to your computer. Now, if you've never worked with such an appliance before, you're going to have to understand what the design of this thing is meant for. You're going to have to understand that certain plugs go in certain holes and certain things get connected to certain buttons. Certain things need to be switched on in a certain way. You need to understand the instruction, okay? You need to have that user manual. You need to read it. And who of you know that most little appliances, even if they're small or complicated or whatever, they come with this user manual. And guess what it says on this user manual? It says, please read this complete user manual carefully before you even start to use this thing. Now, who of us do that? Okay, especially us guys. Some of the ladies, you'll do it. You're so into detail and you'll make sure that you read through everything. And then you'll anyway ask your husband to go and do it or your boyfriend to go and do it for you because you don't understand it anyway. But how many of the guys really read through this manual carefully and understand exactly how this thing works? We just dive in and we make our mistakes and we try to fix the thing ourselves or work it out ourselves, and then we get to a point and we just call the shop or phone a quick fix because we're struggling now. But we forgot to read the entire manual carefully before use. Now, it's the same with this greatest design that God has given us. Now, I'm going to talk about relationships today. I'm specifically talking about marriage this morning. Okay, so for those of you who are not married, you're going to get excited about marriage. Amen. And those of you who are married, you're going to get excited for a better marriage. Okay. But you see, In the world today, the world doesn't really read the instruction manual. The world doesn't read the user manual for marriages. So the world tries and makes mistakes and tries another one and tries another appliance and another partner and another whatever you call it. But they don't read the user manual. Now, this user manual is very complicated. It's very big. It's very thick. So we have quite a long time to read through this manual. We don't have to read it through. We won't get through this manual carefully in not even a year, okay? We'll get through this manual carefully in eternity, maybe. We'll get some of it now. But we are supposed to also read through this user manual quite carefully. Because God has designed relationships, amen? God is a God of relationships. And the greatest design on earth is this thing of relationships, this thing of covenant. Now, if you look at the world today, and you just go and research a couple of the jokes that are made about marriage, it's interesting. Now, it's funny, we'll laugh, and you know, humor is good. But sometimes when you read into these jokes, now I've just got a couple of the jokes that people make about marriage these days. And it's interesting to read into the spirit behind some of these jokes, because you just realize that the world doesn't understand the marriage. The world has been hurt through marriage because they haven't read the user manual. So then you'll get things like this. Marriage is a good deal like a circus. There is not as much in it as is represented in the advertising. It says, keep your eyes wide open before marriage and half shut afterwards. You guys can laugh, guys. All marriages are happy. It's trying to live together afterwards that causes all the problems. Bigamy is having one wife too many. Monogamy is the same. Marriage, the only war where you sleep with the enemy. Always get married in the morning. That way, if it doesn't work out, you haven't wasted a whole day. Or then something for the men. I never mind my wife having the last word. In fact, I'm delighted when she gets to it. Or for the woman, a daughter asks her mom, what is marriage? So the mom says, marriage is just a fancy word for adopting an overgrown male child who cannot be handled by his parents anymore. So you see, the world jokes a lot about marriage. Mika lach lekker daarson. The world jokes a lot about marriage, and you know, there's it's good to laugh, and humor's good, and jokes are good. But sometimes you realize that there's been a lot of hurt in the world because of marriage. And many people don't want to get married anymore. Why must we get married? Because we can just live together. We can just carry on. But we don't understand this great design. And this morning, I just want to look at a few things from Genesis. And Genesis is an amazing book when you understand just the truth and the depth in it. Many of us think, oh man, let's just get to the New Testament and get to Jesus. And you know, it's good to do that. You must get to Jesus. But if you don't understand why we need Jesus, then why do you need to get to Jesus? And so the Genesis tells us why we need Jesus. It's so exciting when you read. Because when you read in chapter 1, verse 26, you read that God has designed us for a very specific purpose. He's designed people. He created people for a very specific purpose. And it says here in verse 26, it says, then God said, now this is the end. He's created all the other stuff. And now it comes to the sixth day. Now he's excited because now he's come to the pinnacle of his creation. He's come to the reason why he's created the world in the first place. If he didn't come to this, why create the world? Then it would have been just for him and for his beauty. And he wouldn't have had much relationship with that which he had created. But then he created this special thing. And he said, and it's interesting, he said, let us, not let me, let us make a man in our image. You see that God is already in relationship? Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity in relationship. Let us make a man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Say, male and female, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Just this incredible design, incredible relationship that God desired to have with someone that he could relate to. And we know that the Bible says at the end of that day, God said everything was good at the end of each day. But at the end of the sixth day, what did he say for the first time? He said he saw his creation and said it was very good. God was excited about what he had created. He had created someone that he could relate to. And then he said the following. Well, then the Bible says God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. I just want to say that again. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay? I'm excited about multiplication and being fruitful. We're trying our best to build the children's church, to build the kingdom, to build God's kingdom. Some of you might be excited about kids by the end of 2020, but anyway. When the time is right, the time is right. Okay, William and Mika? who's married in this place? It looks like there are more unmarried people than married people. Yanni and Haynes, Gerard, Marius, Joshua and Christine. Yeah, it's cool. But half of you are not married, so you'll get excited about the prospect that lies ahead of you for being fruitful and multiplying. And then he said, and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. It's interesting to see that God was a team himself. God was a team. He said, let us, the three of us, we in relationship, we a team already. And then he said, I'm going to make a team. A male and a female, I'm going to make them together, just as I am together. But why did he make them? He said, I want you to have dominion. And he actually said, yeah, he said, if you have to have, in order to have dominion, you've got to be fruitful and multiply. If you're fruitful and multiply, then you will have dominion. You will fill the earth with godly offspring. You will fill the earth with my presence. And so God was excited to design man, first of all, to represent him. We are designed to represent God on this earth. And this week, it's just been amazing for me to Nathan was supposed to come on the 26th, was his due date, so that would have been Tuesday, I think. But he decided on Tuesday night that, hey, you know, contraction started and it's time to get out into this world. It's time to break forth. And it was just an incredible week that we've had, and just seeing him come into our family and suddenly being a family of five, and we were four, and it was one stage we were three, and one stage was just the two of us, and one stage was just like me alone and Hester alone, and we found each other and came together, and God is blessing us with children. But it's amazing just to experience that thing of God is into this. God is excited about us as a family, about us as this team, to represent him on the earth, to fulfill his calling for our lives, and to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion, to come to this place where we go back to what God wanted at the beginning. And so I want to say to you this morning that you have been designed to represent God. Amen. But you haven't been designed to represent him on your own. You've been designed to represent him like he's represented as a team. Let us. But I'll get to that now. And we are supposed to have stewardship over the earth. It says here, you must be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Have dominion over what? The fish of the sea, the birds, every living thing. You're supposed to be good stewards of this earth. And we see how the earth looks today. There hasn't been good stewardship over the earth. There's been sin. There's been destruction. There's been lives killed. There's been animals killed. Creation is still beautiful. It's amazing how beautiful creation is. But imagine how beautiful it could have been if man was a good steward and obeyed God. And then what happened? God, so chapter 2 in Genesis goes on to say that there's this little focus now on the man and the woman. Okay, so this is getting exciting. So in verse 15 of chapter 2, it said the Lord took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden. There it says again, to tend and keep it. God placed man on this earth to tend to the earth and to keep the earth, to work. You know, we were designed to work. This was before the fall. Work's not a curse. God designed Adam to work, to tend the earth and to keep it. And so we're supposed to work. We're supposed to find our purpose and find our calling because God wants us to tend and to keep the earth. And this is before, this is before there was sin, before there was destruction, before there was like, this is not restoration. This is just work. God has given Adam work to tend and to keep the earth. What a blessing to be able to give a calling to have been given a calling by God. And all of us need to find what we need to tend and keep on this earth. And then the Lord God commanded the man. Interesting, he commanded him. The first communication with mankind was a command. Have you seen that? But what kind of a command was it? Let's look at this now. And it said, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. So God commands Adam and he says, you know what? This is not like the law. This is a blessing. You can eat of every tree. This is an incredible life I've given you. You can eat of the garden. You can, and it said even the animals will eat of the fruit and of the trees and the bushes and everything. But, he says, but. Isn't that how God works? God gives us a blessing, but then he gives us a condition. There's a but. There's not a free for all. There's boundaries. When you're a parent, you realize that this is so true because for a child needs to have that but. And they don't want to always hear it. And we as people don't always want to hear the but. Amen? We want to hear, you can do what you like. It's a free world. There's a but. But of the tree of life. Sorry, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So God always gives a blessing, and he gives a promise. I mean, he gives a blessing, which is a promise, and then he gives a condition. But. And so we must ask God, we must say, God, what is the but that I'm overstepping in my life? God has given throughout the word certain promises and blessings and things, but then he's also said, but certain things. For example, he says, you know, sex is great. Have sex, but within marriage. Don't experiment beforehand. Don't awaken love before it's supposed to be awakened. Why? Because we've been designed for covenant. We've not been designed just to run around trying a lot of stuff. We've been designed to read the manual. We've been designed for relationship with God, first of all, and then relationship with people. And then he goes on and he says in verse 18, and it's interesting, he says, and. So he's given these commands, he's given Adam certain things to do, and he's really excited about Adam obeying these commandments and everything. Then he realizes, but you know what? It is not good that man should be alone. Turn to someone next to you and say, it's not good that you should be alone. Men especially, it's not good that man should be alone, okay? But it's not good that women should be alone either. Okay? Mankind should not be alone. We've been designed for relationship, but a specific type of relationship. Praise the Lord. For me, I remember when I was single, it wasn't nice, okay? And I was like trying to say, God, you know, I want to find my wife now because I know that, you know, the Bible says that I'm not supposed to be alone. So God, make a plan for me. But then what did I do? I said, God, make a plan, but then I started to make a plan. I started to see how many girls I could take on the back of the motorbike, and we used to do breakfast runs, and it was awesome, and, you know, how many women can you check out now if it's the right one for you? You start to make plans. But listen to what God says. God says, I, just because of this, I've created you not to be alone, so I will make a helper suitable or comparable to him. Isn't that good news for some of us? God will make a helper suitable for you. You know, elke pot het 'n deksel nodig, okay? So, every pot has got some kind of a lid somewhere running around. Those of you not in relationships, say thank you for my lid, okay? Or if you're the lid, thank you for my pot. God is going to prepare a relationship for you. God is busy doing that, amen? The singles, God is busy preparing someone for you. God was busy preparing my wife for me before I met her. And it's just amazing to see what God is doing between us in this time. There's kids happening, okay? But it's not always easy. It's not always easy. But God has given us the blessing of marriage. And he said, I will make a helper. The New Living Translation says, just right for him. So I want to say to you guys today, there's good news. There's someone just right for you. And if at the moment you're feeling in your marriage that person's not right for you, then you've got to say, God, are you confused or am I confused? And guess what? God is not confused. That marriage is designed by God. And if you chose it, you must say, God, I'm going to read the manual again because I'm missing something. There's some connection not happening. And then he goes on and he tells Adam, listen, yeah, you can name all the animals now. And so Adam names all the animals. And in the time, Adam realized there's not one thing, yeah, that's comparable to me. These animals, they don't talk. I don't know what he must have done with the animals. It must be quite interesting naming the animals and trying to make conversation with them and trying to say, hey, buddy, you know, let's talk something. Yeah, you know, I'm alone and I need someone to talk to. God is there, but I want to relate to you. Animals just going on, eating grass, pooing, doing all those sorts of things. And like, okay. And God's saying, Adam, I wanted you to see that. I told you, I'll make a helper for you. So he put Adam to sleep and he said, you know what? I'll take out of your rib, I'll make this amazing helper for you. So he says, the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. He brought her. You see, God is into it again. God will bring you your wife. And God will make sure that your marriage works out. If he has already brought you your wife and you said yes and you've married, then he will be faithful to continue to work that marriage out. But you see, so many of us, we try our hardest to try and find the right person, and then we get frustrated, then we get hurt in relationships, then we do it too quickly or too slowly or whatever. We don't walk in step with the Lord, because the Lord said he will make someone, and he will not only make her, he will bring her to you. And so guys, yes, we must be the hunters, you know, we must pursue, but you've got to understand God is ultimately going to bring you the right one. And I want to say to guys here today, to men who aren't married, you can, I remember a friend of mine once, we were talking about relationships back there in Stellenbosch when I was still single. We were saying that, you know, a guy can actually, in a way, get any girl to go for him if he really tries. Okay, that's not obviously exaggeration, okay? But I mean, we have the ability, women want to be in relationships. So if you do the right things and you talk the right talk, you can pretty much pursue a woman to be in relationship with you if you really do the right things. But is that the right way? God said, I will do it. I will bring her to you. I will show you who the right one is. And I remember when I met Hester, it was just so amazing because I was at the point where I thought, Lord, there's certain girls I like, but you know, there's just not a response and I'm striving and I'm trying to make this thing work. And I just said, God, I'm giving over. And I was actually at the time in a relationship which wasn't the right one. It was, once again, this exact thing. I was like making my own plans and I got into a relationship which wasn't right. And it was the worst thing to try and get out of this relationship. I was like, oh, I've got to break up now. And she sort of started to like me. And then I just realized, this is killing me. It's not the right one. I just didn't have peace at all. And so when we make our own plans, and what happens? We give birth to an Ishmael, like Abraham did, you know. God, you're not going to give me a son, so I'll just make my own plans and give birth to what is not your promise, what is not your purpose. And so I had to get out of it, and I was like, God, I'm so sorry. I've hurt one of your daughters here. I'm really sorry, and I repented, and I was like just so down and broken. And God said, you see what happens when you try to force your way into someone's life. You don't allow me to bring it to you. But God wants to do that for each one of us, and God wants to bless us with an incredible covenant relationship. And so he goes on, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. I think Adam must have just said, whoa, man. That's why he called her woman, you know. Whoa, man, this is beautiful. Imagine Adam's reaction when he saw this wife, like, perfect. Beautiful. Amazing, something he'd never seen. Although he'd just seen animals. So I guess any person compared to an animal was probably, you know, a bit more pretty than an elephant or a rhino. But anyway. Because she was taken out of man. And verse 24, that which we always use at the weddings. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. And guess what happened? They were both naked, the man and his wife, not ashamed. No guilt, no condemnation, no shame. They became one. Talking about this incredible covenant relationship God has designed us to be in. And they're so different. Man and woman, poles apart, but yet there's this incredible unity between two different people. Isn't that amazing? It's just a mystery. See, not only have we been designed to represent God, but we've been designed for covenant relationship. We've been designed to be naked and not ashamed with someone that we can trust. And you know, some of us have been naked with other people, and that's fine. There's restoration today. There's restoration for mistakes. But I loved what said this morning in the intercession. Jesus has come to tell us, you know what? If you've been in adultery, if you've been in fornication, if you've been whatever, it's fine, but go and sin no more. Like he said to the woman in adultery, he said, you know, I forgive you, but go and sin no more. We've been created for covenant relationships. But then you see what happened in chapter 3, the crucial chapter in the Bible. Adam and Eve are these perfect people created in the image of God. But were they so perfect? They weren't robots. Because someone came to deceive them. It says the serpent. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, he said, has God indeed said that you shall not eat of any of the trees? Isn't that amazing? He says, has God indeed said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The sly old serpent comes to speak to the woman. Now, it's very interesting. Have you thought about this? Because he doesn't come to the man. He comes to the woman. But yet, look at the woman's answer. The woman says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So obviously, Adam did his job. He told his wife, listen here, God has said this to me. Because remember, God said it to him before he created Eve. So he said, we're not supposed to do this. So he must have told his wife, listen here, this is what God said. So his wife very cleverly told the devil, listen here, this is what God has said. But it's interesting that the serpent came straight to the woman. And so he starts to reason with her. Has God indeed said? Just think about this. Think about this very carefully. Has God indeed withheld something from you? And the serpent says to the woman in verse 4, you will not surely die. Come on now. Let's start to think about this. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And you know what? You'll be like God. The fall happened even before man fell. The fall happened in heaven when Satan got so jealous of God, so envious of him that he wanted to be like him. So he disobeyed him. And now he's trying to get his beautiful, perfect people to disobey God as well. He says, you know what? You must have this desire to be like God, knowing good and evil. And so Eve started to think about this. Sure, this is like quite a suggestion, yeah, quite an option. So I don't know how much time went by, but then it says, so when the woman saw, she started to look with her eyes very carefully. She started to look at this tree. And I don't know where Adam was at the time, but he said nothing. He didn't say anything. She was starting to think, and she saw that the tree was, what, three things. First of all, good for food. So she thought, oh, it's nice. I'm a bit hungry now, and I don't want to go to another tree and get food. There's food right here, so let me just satisfy myself now. That it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, it's beautiful. Look at how big it is and how awesome it is. Can't we just taste of this fruit? Why is God withholding this from us? And a tree desirable to make one wise. What did she do? She took off the fruit and ate. See, it's amazing. God has given us his creation. And from the beginning, he gave people the power to choose. We have been designed for choice. We haven't been designed to just follow God blindly. We haven't been designed to just obey him without thinking, without considering it, without choosing to do it. We have been designed. That's the incredible, incredible design. Amen. An incredible blessing that God has given us, the ability to choose, the power to choose him. And unfortunately, Eve chose, and it wasn't her fault, it was Adam's fault. Because she said, it says she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he just ate, didn't say anything. Didn't question her motives or wonder, but didn't God say we mustn't eat of this? He just seemed to eat and enjoy it as well. And then the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed figs together and fig leaves together, and they made themselves covering. And then in verse 8, it says that they hid from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that sad? But you see, there's a blessing in this. There's a blessing in the ability that we have from God to choose. And we must see it as a blessing, but we must also see that it did bear consequences. And today we're still on the receiving end of the consequences of a wrong choice. But you see, there were three things. The Bible talks about these three things that we must make sure we don't choose for. We must choose against these three things. Good for food, the lust of the flesh. Want to satisfy the flesh. Want to satisfy something now. When God has said, you know what, there's a blessing just there. There's the, and you can eat of all the other trees, but why do you have to eat of this tree? There's a satisfaction for your flesh, which I know you have, but don't do it in this way. Don't do it in the way that I said you mustn't. Do it how you must. There's plenty of food. You don't have to go hungry. There's lots of food. So God knows your satisfaction for the fleshly things. So eat that which God has blessed. Eat that which God has given you and which will be a blessing and not bring a curse. And then secondly, it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. How much stuff out there is there that attracts us and that we so want? And God says, I've blessed you with other stuff. Don't focus on that which you don't have. I want to fulfill that desire in you that you need. But how many times did the devil turn around and say, you just get that. You can have it now and, you know, God will forgive you afterwards. But how sad is it many times when we choose things that just hurt us? Choose things that take us away from God. And talking about this thing, you know, many times, I loved what John de Villiers said last night in the interview. Now, I know you guys are all down because the box only won by 2 points and it was like not the best performance. But it was interesting. Like, you get so negative about their performance because you've got this expectation that they're going to get 4 tries and they're going to get a bonus point and whip Argentina. And then because you hear New Zealand in the morning has whipped Australia, so we've got to live up to this expectation. And so we get negative because, yes, they won, but no, we're negative. As South Africans, we're negative because, no, we didn't get what we wanted. But I loved John de Villiers' positivity afterwards. He says, you know what? A win is a win, and that's where we are now. We're in a process. We've got new guys. And it was amazing how he didn't say, you know, we really didn't play well. We just, and yes, there were certain aspects of the game which weren't good. But you see, we must focus on that which we have. We've got a win. So let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate the win. We could have lost. Instead, we've got this expectation and the standard. And if we don't have it, then we all focus on what we don't have. And same with us as humans. Our sinful nature focuses on what we don't have instead of... And this was before the fall, remember? But yet, they were given that power to choose. And that's why it's so powerful to have that choice. And God has given us that in relationships. We can choose life in relationships. We can choose against the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And the third thing is, the tree was desirable to make one wise. The pride of life. I want to be better than God. I want to be like God. I want to choose who's right or wrong. I want to judge. I want to see good and evil. And so we've got this desire to be better than God or to be God many times. Amen. I read this thing on Facebook now of where this Richard Dawkins guy, I don't know if you know him, he's this atheist who really like, he's saying things like, now he's the typical guy that if you're a creationist and you want to defend Genesis 1-11, then you can go against Richard Dawkins and you'll have a challenge there to try and persuade him that God is created and it's not just like happened out of nothing. But anyway, but now he's saying that he's playing God basically, saying that abortion... If a child is got a Down syndrome or it's picked up in the womb that the child is going to be disabled or something, then that child must be aborted. That's what he says, because we're doing the child a disrespect, or we're doing the child a, what can I say, you're making that child's life terrible by making it be born, because it's supposed to rather die before it comes out. That's what he's trying to play God and say that, you know, this life isn't really a life. It doesn't really have feelings or choices or anything. So just kill it there, because it's going to anyway have a tough life. It's going to anyway not have a life. That's now his thing. To try and play God and say, this is the truth. And that's what happens when we don't have relationship with God. We don't understand God's ways. Then we choose death. We choose to play God and to be desirable to be wise in our own eyes. Instead of understanding what the manual says. But I want to say this morning, when it comes to relationships, we have got the power to choose. Amen. We've got the power to choose a partner. We've got the power to choose life. Even though we're sitting on the other side of this choice that Adam and Eve made to disobey God. Because we read the consequences. There will be pain in childbirth. Now, I experienced that on Wednesday morning. There is terrible pain in childbirth. I was like, oh, Lord, help my wife here. Now, I'm praying in the spirit. I'm just praying in tongues there. And it's not nice to see it. And even it is my third time. It's just you realize the curse. Like, why, God? And yes, there's supernatural childbirth. You read of some women that just have it like supernaturally, and I don't know. But anyway, I don't think they understand something about the suffering of the cross of Christ, that He suffered for us to give us life. And so there's suffering when we bring forth life. But it's just a blessing to see how Nathan was just, everything was fine. Perfect. Even though my wife still has to recover now, and you go through a bit of pain, but you know what? It's worth it when the life comes. And there's consequences for this choice. And God says to Eve, first of all, He says to the devil. No, He says to Adam first. He says, Adam, where were you? So He goes to Adam first. He doesn't go to Eve and say, why did you disobey him? He says, Adam, what? Then He says, oh, that wife you gave me. Please, I don't know what happened here, but you gave me this wife that she just, no, Adam, you're responsible. And so He gives certain things to Adam that he's going to bear consequences. Then He goes to Eve and He says, Eve, yes, you should have also taken responsibility. So you will be cursed in this way. And then He says to the serpent, you will be cursed. But then He says to the serpent one thing. He says, you know what? You will bruise his heel. That the seed of Adam, talking about Jesus, capital S for seed there. He says, you will bruise his heel, but you know what? He will trample on your head. And so the last thing I want to say this morning is we have been designed not only to glorify God and to represent Him. We have been designed not only to choose for covenant relationships. We have not only been designed to choose, but we've been resigned for this one thing. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, in the beginning, Jesus Christ was there when this all happened. In the beginning, He was there when the design happened. In the beginning, He was there when Adam and Eve were made. In the beginning, He was there all the time. And His presence was there. But then God said, you know what? I'm going to have to make a plan. He's going to have to become a man. Verse 14 of John 1 says, the Word became flesh and He dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that amazing? God sent a man to redeem us. He couldn't do anything else. He had to send a man to redeem man. To redeem mankind, He sent His Son as a man. He became a man. He became flesh. And that is amazing for me, is that we as people have been designed to receive that redemption. We have been designed for redemption. And we have been designed, when that man comes into our lives, when that man becomes part of our lives and our marriages, the Word made flesh, then you know what? We can also bring redemption. We have been designed not only to receive redemption, but to bring redemption to the world. I want to say this morning that marriage has been designed for that. You know what? Because Adam and Eve decided, you know what? We're going to just separate ourselves for a while from that third party in our relationship. Because you see, two won't work. God from the beginning was three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was three. And you know what He's supposed to do? We're supposed to do? We're supposed to be three in the marriage, never just two. And that's why when we do the marriage vows, what do we do at the start? We say, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's what we do. Before people make the covenant with each other, we say, the most important covenant is that with Jesus. That He's the third party in your marriage. The Bible says that a threefold cord is very difficult to break. Two people can keep each other warm, and two people can go through this life quite successfully. Amen. Lots of marriages work. Lots of marriages are blessed more than Christian marriages. Unbelievers' marriages are sometimes blessed more than Christian marriages. And it's not anyone's fault. That's just the world, the imperfect world we live in. But yet he says, you know what? Two people can last for a while. Two people will last on this earth. But two people will not last for eternity. What will last for eternity is then is when we have a relationship with this man who became flesh. Or this God, sorry, who became a man. This perfect being who became a perfect man to dwell here on earth with us. But it's so important that before you enter into marriage, you have this relationship with Jesus Christ. And you say, Jesus, all my desires, everything, marriage cannot fulfill me, sex cannot fulfill me, money cannot fulfill me, I need you to fulfill me. But with you, in a team together, I'm going to be a world changer. I'm going to bring redemption. I'm going to bring forth godly offspring. We're going to bring forth godly offspring. You see, on your own, you cannot multiply. But with together with a woman, a man and a woman can multiply and bring forth fruit. Amen. And it's the same in the church. It's the same as we together in relationships in the church, we can bring forth fruit. But on your own, yes, you will be able to a certain degree. But that's not what God's plan is. God's plan is let us make man, male and female. Let's make a team. Like we are, let's make a team together. So the purpose of marriage and the purpose of relationships is that we have been designed to represent this one thing, my last scripture this morning. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. Paul writes to the Ephesians. He writes about the role of the husband, the role of the wife, submission and love and everything like that. Respect, love and respect and all that. And then at the end he says, for this reason. Same scripture in Genesis 2:24. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then he says this profound statement. This is a great, great mystery. Because I actually speak concerning Christ in the church. And so ultimately the whole purpose of marriage, the whole purpose of relationships, the whole purpose of church is to represent this incredible marriage that's going to come, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you know what? If we've got that perspective in our relationships, if we have that eternal perspective in our marriages, then you know what? It'll work. But when we focus on the here and the now and all the problems and the challenges, we're going to miss it. We're going to start to try and fulfill each other's needs. And it's just not going to work. But when we say, God, we are for your glory. We are to fulfill an eternal purpose. Then marriage is blessed. You don't have to try and work on your marriage. And yes, marriage is work, you know. But sometimes we focus on the negative too much. Oh, it's so hard work, you know. And yes, it is work. But it's not hard work. It's a joyful work. It's a joy to die to yourself. Okay? It's not always easy, but it is nice to, when you're a Christian, to realize I must die more and more to myself. Amen, William, Mika, Yanni, Haynes, you guys that are young married. You start to die to yourself straight away because you realize how selfish you are. But if we're not going to allow Christ to be more in us and less, and that we become less, then we're going to be selfish and we're going to fight. But the blessing of relationships, the blessing of marriage is to glorify God, to redeem mankind, to represent God's incredible heart, to redeem us to Himself because of the choice that was made. And today we have a choice again to choose whether we're going to do the relationship thing, the marriage thing, according to God's design manual, or are we going to do it according to the world's design manual and read all the worldly books and all the stuff. But if we have an eternal focus, we'll realize this is crucial. We've been designed to represent this incredible mystery that's Christ in the church. So I want the band to come forward this morning, and I believe God is here just to heal some people of mindsets, to heal some people of just past hurts in marriages, past hurts in relationships, those of you who are not married. Because I believe for those of you who are not married, this is an incredible time to choose and say, God, and this week you'll have an opportunity. I want to say to you, come to the talks. Come to next week's sermon by Ria Echelhoff. She's going to talk more detailed specifically about relationships with children, because many times our own hurts in our marriage and our past pours down onto our children and we hurt them. But come this week to the talks, and if you're married, yeah, I want you to come and bless the students. You've got so much wisdom. You've got so much impartation. You can just lay hands on someone and say, in this area of my marriage, I'm blessed. I want to bless you. We can impart to the students. We can impart to many young people's lives. But if you're not married, yeah, I want to say, come this week and make a choice this week to choose eternity, to choose eternal purpose beyond your own satisfaction, beyond your own lust of the eyes of the flesh, the pride of life. Choose this morning. the glory of God. Amen. Choose to represent God's glory, first of all, as a single person. Because to a degree, you represent God's glory. But I'll never forget, I thought I was so cool. I'm like this Christian. I'm on fire for God. And I'm going for it. And you get married and you realize how sinful you are. So to a degree, you need to see yourself in the mirror through another person. You need to see yourself. When another person's weaknesses are your strengths and your weaknesses are their strengths, and you see your own sinfulness and you see your own fallenness, it's just the best thing that can happen to us. That's why God will bring you the right person. God brought me the perfect wife. I'm falling more in love with her as we go, and especially even having kids, I respect her more just with her amazing ability to be a mother. But you see, if you don't have that blessing, you many times you're stuck in the rut. But God wants to touch our lives this morning. Amen. By His Spirit. He wants to heal hurts here this morning. If you feel like you haven't got a purpose this morning, or what is the purpose of relationships, first of all, you're just in it for yourself, then God wants to give you an eternal perspective this morning. Because He's the great designer. Amen. And He knows your every need. And this morning, some people have needs here, and you just even feel like you can't give this need to God because you feel it's like, what is God really interested in? God is interested in your need this morning. But He wants to say, I'm going to bring you your wife and your husband. I'm going to bring it to you. I want you to be happy and more than happy, I want you to become holy. So I'm going to give you a person. That person's going to challenge you. But I want you to ultimately reflect my glory. Amen. So let's just close our eyes this morning. Father, I want to thank you that you're here to restore marriages, Lord. You have to restore hearts. Lord, relationships is all about your heart. And thank you for your heart at the beginning to bless mankind and to say, be fruitful and multiply. And thank you for your patience with mankind throughout the ages, Lord. Thank you for Jesus today. That you've sent Jesus Christ as the ultimate redemptive agent. But He became a man so that He could identify with us. And we thank you this morning, Lord, that you come down to earth to identify with us. To come and restore relationships, Lord. That you are the one that we're living for. You are the ultimate truth, Jesus. And I pray that you'd come this morning and restore relationships. Restore marriages. Restore hearts, Lord, most of all. Not the institution, but hearts to one another, Lord. Because, Lord, it's not the marriage institution that's failed. It's our hearts that have failed. Our hearts towards you and towards one another. And, Lord, those who are desiring to be married and are frustrated, Lord, from waiting for their right partner. Those who are even in a relationship now and they're unsure whether it's the right one, I pray that you'd come and give them peace, Lord. Pray that you'd come and show them what is your heart for each person in that relationship, in Jesus' name.